Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Welcome to another episode of the Growth Marketing Today podcast. Welcome to July. Super excited to finally be here. Took a break in June so that I can focus on my book and a bunch of other things. If you haven't heard, I launched a new book called Product-Led Onboarding that became a bestseller on Amazon on several categories. Go check it out. But today, we're talking about social media. And for large enterprise organizations, the idea of executives being more active on social media can be a bit intimidating. Now, would it do more harm than good? But the data has continued to show that the risk of not having leadership on media is a lot higher. 77% of consumers would rather purchase from a company where executives are active on social media. So in this episode 143, you'll learn from Lena, a social media strategist, university lecturer, and international speaker. First, you'll learn the value of having business leaders on social media. Second, three steps to building influence online. And third, common social media mistakes. Before we go on, I want to thank the sponsor for this episode. Now, these folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. This episode of Growth Marketing Today is brought to you by PartnerStack. It's G2's number one rated partner management platform. Fully support your partner marketing, referral, and reseller channel program all from a single platform. Take the admin work out of your workflows and focus on partner success and scale. If you're ready to scale your revenue through partnerships, visit get.partnerstack.com/GMT to book a demo today, or you can find that link in the description. Enough about this. Let's jump into my chat with Lena. Everybody, welcome to another episode of Growth Marketing Today podcast. Today I have Lena, a social media strategist, university lecturer, international speaker, and moderator. We're actually alumni from the same school, Ivy School of Business, and we've been connected on LinkedIn for some time. So it's finally good to chat with you, Lena. How are things with you?
Likewise. Good to reconnect. It's been a while. And yes, it's always awesome to collaborate with Ivy, fellow Ivy alums. It's a special day.
It's funny because I remember going and taking a class on marketing and people were like, social media is useless. And I'm like, what are you guys talking about? I was like, there's not a lot of Ivy folks. I'm not sure from my class. I can only think of a handful who are super active on social media. Mm-hmm. Is that the same for your class or it's just an anomaly with mine?
No, it's true. You know what? The Ivy folks tend to be really good in finance and those, you know, traditional skills. They're on LinkedIn for sure, but they're not as savvy as they should be. You're absolutely right. But in my class, I was always the go-to person for social media, which is why I ended up becoming a social media strategist.
Interesting.
Because in my MBA class or MBARC, I did my executive MBA at Ivy. Right. Everybody was always coming to me like, how do you do this? Or how do you set up a LinkedIn group? Or, you know, how do you tweet? Or, you know, how do you use hashtags? So that's how I actually end up being in the space that I'm in.
Interesting. Let's talk about that. Like people asking you for help, like what was your journey? Now you're like, you've doubled down on this social media for mm-hmm. business leaders. You're teaching it, you're a strategist, you speak about it, you probably dream about it. But for you, like how did you end up in this path?
Yeah. It's an interesting story. So I was working on Bay Street in marketing for a large law firm, Bennett Jones at the time. And I decided to go back to school and do my MBA. So I did I signed up for the executive MBA at Ivy. So the MBUS, I was working full time and so signed up for a full time load studies wise. And while I was doing my MBA, I got pregnant with my child, my first mm-hmm. child. So as you can imagine, it was crazy busy for me. Working full-time, studying full-time, and then a baby's on the way. So when I went on mat leave after that, that's when I kind of had the time to think about what I want to do next. It's interesting, when you do your MBA, you're so excited about starting a business. A lot of people in my class end up starting up starting consulting businesses and just shifting careers and pivoting and all that stuff. So while I was on mat leave, I got an assignment because I was always good at social media in my circle, in my law firm. I got an assignment to actually run the social media profile of Adina Ryerson. Wow. And it's funny how I actually got to that dean. I was on Twitter. Twitter has always been my favorite social media tool in terms of networking and connecting with people. It's just, I think it's the most underestimated networking tool there is out there online. And most of the time people don't know how to use it properly. And I was, at the time, the book Lean In came out by Sheryl Sandberg. Hang on, then I'm getting to my point. And at the time that, so the book Lean In came out, and an executive that I was following on social media tweeted about the book and said, "What is your Lean In moment?" And I was like, the time I said, I'm on mat leave, and it's the time my Lean In moment has to be the time I was doing my MBA and had my baby in the same year. She goes, "Oh, wow, you know, that's really awesome." Right then, I decided to send her a DM and I said, "I would love to chat with you some more about leaning in. Do you have time for a coffee?" That person was a number two person in her organization. At the time, she was a VP of finance at Ryerson. And she's like, "Yeah, by all means, let me put you in touch with my executive assistant." So we went to the traditional route now. And she put me in touch with her EA, and I was set up. I had a meeting set up a month later in her office. We're having coffee, talking about leaning in, and of course, social media. She put me in touch with Adina, with, you know, a department head at Ryerson, and that was my first consulting assignment. And that led to another and another. And at one point, Ryerson was my largest client. And that's how I got started in the space of really managing and building the social media presence for academics and executives.
Interesting. I love that whole journey that it kind of, you know, it happened by serendipity a little bit. Like it all kind of fit in all together. I mean, I want to dig deep into that around why executives, business leaders should care. And just going back, I'm 100% with you. I've met some of my best friends and good clients as well and contacts through Twitter. So I double down and reiterate what you just said around like Twitter is such a great networking opportunity and people use it as we'll get there. People use it as a blast and a digital bullhorn place. But let's jump first and talk about business leaders, about why should they care? Why should they care about their social media presence? Because, you know, if they're doing well, like what is the opportunity that they're missing out by ignoring social media?
It's not like they have a choice. Let's face it. I mean, especially right now, the pandemic gave us the nudge that we all needed to kind of really, you know, like clean up your profile online and really put on something decent. You don't have a choice. The world is really mostly virtual right now. If you're not online and you're not interacting, you're not engaging, you're really lagging behind. An executive, especially a CEO, has always been first and foremost a communicator. I was just having that discussion on Clubhouse the other day with a bunch of folks actually from Canada in the communication space. And they were saying, you know, have the expectations from CEOs shifted because of the pandemic and because of, you know, the world and how we've all now shifted online? Not really. The CEO has always been a communicator. You had to be like really good in person and writing memos, writing emails. And now you really have to learn how to use digital tools at your disposal. I mean, otherwise, how are you going to communicate with your stakeholders, with your employees, with your, you know, shareholders? You really have to have a voice online. And if you don't, it will be made up for you by others. So you might as well be active and proactive and really help shape the perception of people of you as much as possible. Like you have some control to an extent over that brand that you build and that perception that you build in people's minds about you, how they think of you and what they think of you based on the content and how you behave online.
I want to push that a little bit and talk more about like, and it doesn't have to be exact number, but the ROI for business leaders to do social media. One thing I can think of, and you can add upon this or disagree with me completely, is it's easier to recruit when you're present, you have some kind of presence, because, you know, when your personality is out there, you're communicating ideas on social media as a leader, it kind of helps people confirm that they're not being sucked into this black hole, right? But like, what is like the other like return on investment or like positive benefits for business leaders? Because I really want to drive this point home for people. Mm-hmm.
The ROI of social media. I mean, oh my God, how many conferences were held about that topic, eh? And right. Actually, I was one of the early conference. I used to be a conference producer on social media at the Canadian Institute. Listen, ROI is always hard to measure on social media. Yeah, you can measure. You can use views and likes. And you can say, hey, I got, I don't know, 3,000 views on my LinkedIn post. But how does that translate into actually dollars? Or how does really, what does that mean for your business? It could mean not really much, except that you actually have more, you know, visibility and more exposure. Right. But when a social interaction leads to business assignment, as it did in my case, then that's definitely like, you know, this is measurable ROI. You can say it led to a consulting assignment and it led to a contract that was, I don't know, $10,000, whatever it is. Or when it leads to an interaction with a reporter and you end up being featured in a story about a topic that's within your area of expertise, then it's definitely measurable. So it's always like a case by case basis when it comes to social media. You can use definitely followers and views and likes, and you can set the metrics that work for you. That's what I do with my clients. We decide on the metrics and we measure them and we follow them. But so what? You know what I mean?
Right.
You can say I got, you know, 3,000 views or 10,000 views or 100,000 views. What does that really mean for your business? It really depends on your goals.
100%. And I just want to also reiterate what you said, because I've experienced it. It's a great networking opportunity. Like it's networking at scale. Like imagine you have to go to a networking event. It's physical. You could only meet people who are in the same space. But Twitter and LinkedIn is, your network is global. You can meet somebody from London who can end up being, like you said, a $10,000 contract, right? So that's a clear potential ROI there that I see, is not just for hiring. You know, it's easier to maybe reach out to folks because they know a little bit about you, but just introductions. Like it's that habit, the serendipity, would you say?
Absolutely. It's networking. I like that. Networking at scale. I like that phrase. I might steal it. It accelerates your networking efforts, and you can pick and choose who you want to network with, who you want to follow, who you want to, you know, interact with, because you have to have, it has to be, you have to be intentional in your efforts. And I totally advise people to be strategic and say, you know, put a list of top 10 people that you really want to actually interact with online, and make it a point. Like you can always set your alerts, so whenever they are, when they tweet, they are online, and that's the best time to hit them with a DM because you know they are on their phone. You have to be strategic about it. I've done that in the past.
I really love how you have like I wouldn't call it a hit list, but right? Like you're it's all in. Another positive to this is like, you imagine the mentors, the people who have written books, they're on social media. You can reach out to them. You can DM to them. There's another way for you to have a quote unquote mentor that is there available. If they reply back. And all too often I've sent DMs to folks who I thought were too famous, and they reply back, right? Like I think about
Rand Vishwanathan.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, I've reached out to Amy Cuddy, the famous Harvard prof. Yeah. I wrote an article about her book Presence and we ended up having a call. Wow. And when I tweeted an article that I posted about my own article in Harvard Business Review, she retweeted that. Wow. Because at that point, she knows who I am.
Right.
So it really has shortened the distance between people and public figures, or people and those they admire, or people and really senior executives, potential recruiters and potential bosses.
Interesting. And I really want to drive this point home. Like business people know, and this is a corny saying, but it's true. Your network is your net worth, right? And this is just scaling that again. So, I mean, we've talked about why, like we know, hopefully people listening are like, yeah, okay, I got it. I understand why. Now, Lena, tell me how, like, where should people start out? So if someone's starting out with social media, where do you suggest they start?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And I always tell people, take a step back and ask yourself three questions. First, what is it that you want from social media? What is your objective? What are you trying to accomplish? That's really important. You have to ask yourself that question. Am I looking to, position myself as a go-to lawyer in tech, for example? Think about that branding statement, how you want to brand yourself and how you want to position yourself online. So that's the very first step before you start randomly posting about everything and anything. The second question, who is my target audience? Ask yourself that question. Who am I trying to connect with? Is it, recruiters? Is it event planners in, in XYZ space? Is it CEOs in this XYZ space? Really pinpoint those people and write a list of at least 10 people that, examples. So you can actually stalk these people in a nice way, to interact with them. And the third question is, what is the message I'm trying to get across to these people? For example, in your case, you're really positioning yourself as a go-to person in the growth marketing space. That's the feel that I got from your timeline. So decide what the message is, and then the answers to these three questions will dictate the content that you'll put out. And then in that case, you can be more, sophisticated and have, content tracks. I'm focusing on these four or five topics, and I'm going to tweet around them or post about them on LinkedIn. And that's I'm going to be consistent about it. You have to be really strategic about it. And this is exactly the exercise that I put my students at U of T through. So they have to actually, the first assignment of the course is to write your social media plan that includes these components: the objective, target audience, and the message, and basically the topics. They have to pinpoint at the beginning of the course what topics they will be talking about. So they can actually go online and apply that, practically.
I love how this is like marketing strategy 101. Like you're applying it to social media. Yeah. Like know your audience. Know your goal and then create content around that. I really love that.
Yeah. And actually one thing I wanted to say earlier about, because we talked about DMs on Twitter. Another thing that people don't use on Twitter is the Twitter lists. Because you can totally organize your contacts, the people that you follow in lists. These are my prospects. These are the news outlets that I follow, these are the people, these are my peers from Ivy, for example, these are my peers from, XYZ industry. So you decide, and this is every time you want to see what people are tweeting in that specific category, you go and you look at it, because you're not going to find them in the home timeline. It's, depending on the time they tweeted. So I find that a very, very smart way to keep track of those people without having to follow everyone. I mean, you don't have to follow the Globe and Mail. They're not going to follow you back, for example, but you can have them on that list. Of course you can follow them it's easier access if you follow them because it would just pop on your timeline, but you don't have to follow everyone on that list.
I really love that. That makes a ton of sense. You're creating who you want to like interact with and making sure you're interacting with them. I mean, let's talk about content itself now. Like what kind of, it really depends on the social media platform they decided to go on, whether that's LinkedIn or Twitter. But do you have any tips around, okay, Lena, I know my objective. I know my audience, who I'm trying to reach out to and attract. I know my topics. How do I what's your suggestion or tips for people to now start crafting content around that, or there's GIFs, there's memes, there's a bunch of other stuff that I'm sure people can use. But what are your tips around a content piece when posting on social media?
It's easy for me. First and foremost, add value. Show that you have knowledge in that space. You can tweet. So let's say I don't know why I keep going back to the lawyer. Maybe because I used to work for a law firm. But let's say you are in the innovation AI space. So share articles around that, add value to people who are following you, because people, once you position yourself as the expert in XYZ space, people expect to see content in that space. So add value, share interesting articles, share your successes and your accomplishments. I find that people don't do enough of that. Or they would, for example, let's say they wrote an article for Forbes about entrepreneurship. They just post a link. They don't frame the post in a way that really showcases their expertise to say, here's my latest in Forbes, meaning I wrote this. And it would, and you know, drafting a phrase or two that really from that article to show, to kind of give people a taste of that article. So add value, showcase your expertise, share your successes. And what else? Also, use that space as a two-way street to build a community around your brand. So also give shout outs to other people. Content that you like, share that to with your community and give shout outs to other people so they do the same to you. It's a two-way street. So if you want people to like your stuff, like their stuff, you know, kind of that's how it works.
I really love that piece around the two-way street, because all too often people who are starting out with social media, what they do is I call it the blast and pray, or the digital bullhorn, where like, hey guys, here's what I'm up to. Here's the post I wrote. It's all about me, me, me. And what you're saying is, hey, you should have a two-way conversation. Do you have a rule of thumb around that? Like, you know, you should, you know, make sure to reply back to a few, like the other people.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that two-way interaction?
Yeah. You have to respond to people. And I tell people, not a week later, this is social media. Like within 24 hours, you're expected to reply to comments and questions. I lost my train of thoughts there. I was going to say something else, but definitely respond to people. Shout outs are really important. And also to showcase other people on your page as well. So they will share your content as well. That's really important, just to kind of, especially if it's aligned with what you're trying to advocate here. It's really important. Yeah.
Makes a ton of sense. And in terms
of leaving out a tip or two, but it will come to me.
It'll come back. No worries. Yeah. When it comes to setting up their profile, do you have any suggestions, like in terms of the profile pic, the banner, like, or in the bio that they have, or I'm guessing one of the pictures is show your face on the image versus it's your side profile. But like, what are your tips around actually building, whether it's a Twitter or LinkedIn, the profile of the person you're working with?
Yeah. If we're talking mainly about Twitter and LinkedIn, you definitely show your face. On LinkedIn, invest in a professionally taken photo makes a ton of a difference. Don't take a selfie. If you can tell, it's a selfie, right? Invest in a professionally taken photo, and you know, be smiling, wearing a professional attire. It's really important. You want to look happy and approachable and professional. And people like happy people; they're attracted to that. So, cities are, oh, I want to connect with, you know, Ramley. He looks really happy and great in that photo. On LinkedIn is, and the thing is, each social media platform is different, right? So LinkedIn is serious and professional. Twitter is kind of, it can be casual as well. I mean, there are people who have photos of their pets and their profile photos, and that's fine on Twitter. It's okay, right? Although I don't recommend it, but in their case, you know, they're the senior leaders, and they have, you know, a picture of a pet and their pet as their profile photo. I do recommend that you have a picture of your face, show your face. That could be a casual photo. Have a focused bio. So tell us in the first sentence, what is it that you do?
Right.
You know, I help marketers in my case, I help senior leaders build their social media presence. Tell us what value you add right away. So we don't kind of try to guess what you do. Because a lot of people have a lot of Twitter handles. You know, I work at so-and-so and I teach here and I'm a mentor here and I'm a board member here. But what is it that you do? I don't know what you do. And that's, I find, is a common mistake on social media. There's so much content put out by that one person. You don't really know what they do.
Yeah.
You can't really think of them and, you know, and say, okay, Jane is a marketer. Like, I don't know, because she is putting out so much content about everything. I'm lost here. So be focused in your bio and also in your content that you put out. Actually, that's an important point. You can of course randomly post once in a while about things of interest to you, but for the most part, stick to what you know best.
I love it. That totally makes sense. I mean, we're starting to get to this a little bit already, and you've said all the things that people should be doing. What are some big common mistakes that people do on social media the clients that you work with, you're like, avoid this at all costs?
One common mistake is they don't understand the platform, and they think LinkedIn is Facebook, for example. and they post a video from Greece for Monday motivation. And I'm like, what is this? Unfollow. Really understand and respect the platform and treat it the way it is. It should be treated. So LinkedIn is strictly professional, you know, have a professional tone and stick to that, because it's up to us, the community, to really maintain that credibility of the platform. You know, keep the stuff for Facebook, keep the vacation pics, the birthday wishes to the other platforms where, you know, it's more personal and it's expected to see over to find over there. That's one common mistake I find. The other common mistake is that people post randomly a lot of the times just so they can get likes and views, but they miss the point, because then how is that helping their own persona or their own brand online? So I can post a video. Actually, I saw a video yesterday about, I saw it on LinkedIn and I unfollowed the person right away who was posting it. Something about, you know, it's a video, but it's totally out of context, and it drives home a very humanitarian point, but it's not for LinkedIn. It's not for, right. You know, I could put it out there on my page and get a lot of likes, but how does that help my brand, you know, right, in my space? So stick to what you know best. I always tell people, stick to your niche, focus, make that and protect it really well. That's your brand we're talking about. It's really important. I mean, I was going to talk about Instagram, you know, because I find people also randomly posting. Yeah. People also expect, I mean, if you are, and we're talking about people who want to use social media strategically for their business, you know, whether it's for their professional, their business. So they post vacation pics and they post random things about their personal life, but it doesn't really add value to me. Let's say you are, once in a while, it's okay. Once in a while, it's okay. But for the most part, how can you help me? How are you adding to my timeline? How are you adding value to me?
When we come back in just a moment, Lena shares her 3 tips to raising anyone's visibility. Just a quick thanks to our sponsor for this episode, PartnerStack. Now, PartnerStack, G2's top-rated partner management platform, is the only partnerships platform built for SaaS, designed to deliver predictable revenue and accelerate growth for businesses and their partners. Companies like Intercom, Webflow, and Monday.com use PartnerStack to manage and scale their programs, automating partner onboarding, training, payments, and more to empower their partner success. The past year alone, partners in the PartnerStack network have generated over $100 million in revenue for programs on PartnerStack. Fully support your partner marketing, referral, and reseller channel programs from a single platform. Take the admin work out of your workflows and focus on partner success and scale by automating partner onboarding, attribution, engagement, payouts, and compliance. Tap into the only global B2B partner network supporting over 500,000 partnerships and counting. Now, if you're ready to scale revenue to partnerships, visit get.partnerstack.com/GMT to book a demo today or find that link in the description. Now, about this, let's jump back into my chat with Lena.
Leading to that, once you've kind of start building that up, you've already started talking about getting media interviews and media mentions through your posting. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, how do you get there? And second, how do you get that strategically pursue media interviews or media mentions through social media?
So the first step, if you're not on expertfile.com, go sign up and add your profile there. It's a very powerful tool. I got a lot of media requests just through that website, expertfile.com. Sign up there. Now, in terms of media mentions and media interviews using social media, Twitter is a very powerful tool. I mean, reporters and editors live practically on Twitter. They're all on Twitter. That's their go-to social media platform. So follow the reporters that, you know, that you want to engage with. Follow them, comment on their feed, comment on their articles, try to add value to that. So they know. So next time, you know, they see you, they know who you are. especially if it's, so let's say there's an article about, I don't know, jobs in Canada and tech in the tech space. So if you comment on that reporter's feed, if you add value, if you share more stats, more interesting, more knowledge, more, you know, gems, then next time they want to interview someone, they'll think of you because you've been interacting with them, because you've actually demonstrated that you are an expert in the space through interacting with them. So I have a story actually to share. I think it was last year. I was on Twitter and I saw this tweet by a Canadian reporter, and she's looking to interview women on boards, women who are qualified to be on boards, but they're not on boards yet. And she said, DMs open, you know, looking to speak to women. So I was like, you know what? Sometimes, you know, when you see something, you know, you have to do it, even though you don't want to do it. Like, I know I have to reach out because it's going to bring me visibility. Like, you know, it's like adding it to the to-do list. Even though you're like, oh, this is going to be more work to me. Anyway, I reached out to her and I said, yes, I'd love to speak to you. We had a call scheduled the next day, had a very good conversation with her. And actually during the interview, I was able to talk about my expertise and how I'm helping women use social media to raise their profile and their visibility. So I was able to frame that interview in a way that really highlights what I do, even though she reached out to me just to talk about me not being on a board. And that came out in the interview. And actually they sent a photographer, and we had a photo shoot downtown on King Street in the financial district. It all came out in the article. It was just an amazing opportunity to showcase what I do. 6 months later, she was doing a follow-up article. She reaches out to me. And once again, I was featured in that article. It's all through a Twitter exchange. And right now, whenever she has, you know, a story about social media, she reaches out to me and asking me for my 2 cents.
That makes wow, that's such a great story. Like, this is hopefully getting people excited. Like, this is the potential with what you, like all the advice that you've given, this is where it can essentially lead to with, you know, people just reaching out for comments on news articles. And I'm curious as well, like, you've written stuff for Harvard, their Harvard Business Review. Was that through social media as well, or was that through other connections? I'm really curious if it was.
It was I have a mentor who helped me basically get in touch with the editor there and write the article. But I met that person, that mentor, on social media.
Interesting.
So I would say it's definitely a social media opportunity. It's through networking on social media. It's just a matter of really real knowing who the editor is and getting their attention. It's like, hey, I'm so and so, and you know, so and so sent me. So I was like, oh, okay, so we'll read your piece.
That's so cool. Like, that you can say a lot of the things that happened so far in your career up to this point now is because of the work that you've done on social media.
And that's why I tell people it really works.
I know it
does work. Just give them more time, more patience, because people expect, like, oh, I'm not going to reach out to, you know, that CTV reporter. Right. It's just a long shot. But actually, if you keep at it, it pays off eventually.
I feel like we're in an echo chamber because I'm on the same boat as well. Like, the current job I have was through social media. Like, I didn't apply to this job. Wes Bush, the author of Product Led Growth, reached out on LinkedIn, and it's like, hey, this is 5 years ago. We randomly reach out. Hey, we're in marketing. We're both alumni from Waterloo. Let's chat. And then 5 years later, he hired me. I didn't even apply. So, like, this is another advantage of having social media presence, is you might not ever have to apply to another job. Like, people will pursue you. Would you say?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and in a lot of the cases, people pursue you because they know who you are. And sometimes you do the pursuing as well. But in any case, it just gives you a competitive edge.
Mm, I love that. Competitive. Yeah, you're right. That is totally true. I want to talk about something that's more current around Clubhouse. You said you've been more on Clubhouse a lot. Why should people join, and what are some drawbacks of Clubhouse? I've been on it. I'm a podcaster, so I have my own opinions about it as well. But for you as a social media strategist, what is the potential with Clubhouse, and what are some drawbacks of it?
Mm-hmm. So I recently shared that article. I wrote an article about it for Medium about why I think people should join. So it's a great platform, I think, to raise your visibility. And I'll tell you a story. So I walked into a clubhouse room randomly the other day, a few weeks ago, and it was part of the UN Club, United Nations Club. And it was about generation equality or gender equality, something along those lines. And I raised my hand to speak. That's the thing about Clubhouse. Every time you raise your hand to speak, you get more visibility because you're moved, especially if it's a large room. And, you know, for those people who know how Clubhouse works, you know, you're in this room. And if you're not in the audience and you're not, sorry, on the stage, you're probably at the bottom. And if you're not being followed by any of the speakers, you are at the very bottom. So when you raise your, they accept your, you know, your request, they move you up to the audience, to the stage, the virtual stage. So I raised my hand to speak. And once you speak and once you're done, in most cases, you remain up there. So people coming in and out, they see who the speakers are and you get more visibility because even though you've said your two cents or you've asked your question, you're still up there. In most cases, sometimes they move you back to the audience, but most of the times, I would say 8 out of 10, you're still on the stage. So you get more visibility. So I raised my hand to speak. And before I know it, who was in the audience? I heard people saying, "Oh, it's Madam Director or Madam something." You know, it's Executive Director of UN Women, from Zuli. I can't remember her last name. Wonderful lady. And right away, they moved her up to the stage, and she said her. And all of a sudden, I was part of this amazing conversation with the Executive Director of UN Women. Just because I have the advantage of being on Clubhouse and because I took the initiative and raised my hand to speak. That's how amazing it is. It shortened the distance between people and public figures, celebrities, executives. You know, you have the Amy Cuddies and other people on, Harvard profs on Clubhouse as well. So it's amazing in that sense. It helps you raise your visibility. And every time you speak, because you kind of have to introduce yourself. You're practicing your, you know, the sharing of your story or, you know, your elevator pitch. Like, "Hey, I'm Lina. I'm a social media strategist. I'm also founder of Untold." And I every time you do that, you get more comfortable with it and you fine tune it every time because people respond to things differently. So you fine tune that along the way. So it's good that way. It's definitely, it's a great way to expand your network and it's still relatively very, very new. It's only like just over a year old. So I think eventually people are going to all move there. So the sooner you get on it, the more advantage you have.
Makes sense. And I'm not sure if I missed it around any drawbacks that you see with Clubhouse. Yeah.
I'd love to know what you think as well. The drawback is it could be a huge time waster, right?
Yeah.
Because you, especially if you are in a big room with, 300 people and you raise your hand to speak and you wait and you wait and you wait. And then they decide to, they shift the way they're doing the order of people speaking and you end up waiting a whole hour and not speaking. So it could be a huge time waster. You just have to probably invest some time at the beginning to find out, to find your tribe in a way, find the good rooms that you're looking for. Be aware of what you hear over there because everybody is a so-called expert. Everybody is a coach. Literally everyone over there is a coach. It might take you a while before you find high quality people to interact with.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I think it takes a lot of time and
yeah.
People compare it to podcasting, but podcasting has this momentary thing where you can listen to it anytime. And this one, you have to be there on the spot to find the good bits or you can't rewind it. So I think there's definitely the comparing it to podcasts is the tough thing around this. I want to compare Clubhouse now to Twitter Spaces because people have been, people are like, go Clubhouse. And then Twitter Spaces coming out. And
yeah, or it came out actually. Yeah.
Yeah. That for me, the advantage of that is you're kind of already leveraging your Twitter followers. So you don't have to rebuild your network. I'm curious about as a social media strategist, what are your thoughts around Twitter Spaces versus Clubhouse?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't spent much time on it just simply because I haven't seen many rooms in my timeline.
Same.
So, and I know that Twitter is kind of is nudging you to use it, because a few times now when I go and, you know, I get the message, the mic is yours, go ahead and use it. I just haven't seen many conversations in my timeline, people in my network where I can jump in and speak. And I haven't really initiated a room yet. So I don't know why I have the preference to go on Clubhouse, just because you can see all the rooms and you can scroll and find out what's happening versus just a conversation here happening on Twitter Spaces. You mentioned you compared Clubhouse to the podcast. Yes, absolutely. You can listen to the podcast again and again, especially if you miss something like an important point and you want to go back and listen to it again. You want to share it to other people. Having said that, the advantage of actually having, you know, people come up and also ask questions is really valuable. So, you know, it there's pluses and minuses, I guess.
Sure. You're right. And that's, you're going back to your point around interaction. Like, there is that opportunity to interact with smart people. I was going to say famous people, but people who are leaders in this
famous
space.
People. Which is, yeah, for sure. True. I mean, to be able to ask Elon Musk a question or other people as well. Besides the executive director, I'm just trying to think. I did go on not celebrities, but you know, some high profile people that I was able to interact with, and one endorsed by Oprah, Lisa Abramson. And when you make a good impression on these people through what you say on the stage, you might actually get a follow from these people. So it's powerful. But I wanted to also tell you that those people who have thousands of followers spend unless they are a celebrity, they spend a ton of time on that platform.
100%.
We're talking like 9-10 hours a day. It's insane. I don't know how they get any work done.
You're right. How do they get work done?
It's insane. It's really insane. That's how they gather all these followers, because they go and they speak in the different rooms, so people see them and they follow them. Unless they are a celebrity, they already have, you know, a standing, so to speak.
I want to start wrapping up. I know we talked a lot about different things today, and if you can share like three tips that people can take away if they've fast forwarded through this podcast and they've gotten here, what are your three best advice for people to around social media and raising their visibility?
Yeah, my top tip is stick to what you know best. Mm. Focus on your niche. Talk about your area of expertise, what you know best, and be true to that. Be be strategic and put out that plan and really stick to it. Stick to it. Don't get distracted or don't get tempted to post just random content for the likes or for the views. Really focus on your brand. Number two, toot your own horn. Be your own advocate. Showcase, and I find that, especially with women, they don't do enough of that. Talking about their accomplishments, what they have done. It's not boasting if it's a fact. And it's not boasting if you are a true community member that also gives shout outs to other people. Showcase your accomplishments, talk about what you're doing, your success stories. That always leads to more interaction. That always leaves an impression in the minds of the people seeing your content. So we said stick to what you know best, toot your own horn, be consistent. I heard a really great quote the other day. It said, everything that you want is on the other side of consistency. Be consistent. I like it. Be consistent. If you post a tweet today and then you, and then a week later, another tweet, doesn't work that way. You have to be part of that community, you know, and be regular and consistent in your content.
Everything you want is on the other side of consistency.
Consistency.
I'm going to tweet that later and then tag you. I really love it. Just final question, Lena, where can people find out more about you? This is your time, call to action. We want them to follow you on Twitter, LinkedIn, Clubhouse, or everything above.
Yeah, I would say Twitter is the most robust platform. I was going to say my website, but I haven't updated in a while. So don't go to my website. It's not. It's lenadukeconsulting.com. But the best way to reach me is on Twitter or LinkedIn or Clubhouse. And it's Lena Duke MBA on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Lena. I really do appreciate it.
Likewise, it's been fun.
Well, that's it for this episode. Before I end, I just want to thank the sponsor again for this episode. These folks help cover the cost of hosting, marketing, and tools to make this show possible and get amazing guests like Lena on the show. This episode of Growth Marketing Today is brought to you by PartnerStack, G2's number one rated partnership management platform. You can fully support your partner marketing, referral, and reseller channel programs all from a single platform. Take the admin work out of your workflows and focus on partner success and scale. If you're ready to scale your revenue to partnerships, visit get.partnerstack.com/GMT to book a demo today. Please also support me. There's three easy ways. First, you can share a quote on Twitter or LinkedIn. Tell a friend about this podcast. This is how shows like this grow, is through word of mouth. Second, you can join the Grow Today mailing list, where you'll get the cheat sheets directly emailed to you. I also tell you who my next guests are coming up. Third, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts so other people can find out more about the show. Well, that's it for this episode. Until the next one, this is your host, Ramley John. Keep safe, and as always, keep on growing.